And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me today is my good friend, Michele Barrett. Michele, what's up?
We have the NBA. It's everything is back as normal. I'm so, so, so happy. And I can't wait for the real games to be here.
I know, same. You don't want to watch more of Talen Horton Tucker?
I heard he was pretty good. And also that Danny Abdia basically shot perfect percentage from the field.
Yep.
Fred was excited this morning. So everything is great. Like, we have a lot to talk about.
You have a lot to talk
like
about.
Like, not making up stuff.
I know. It's very odd. Feels very odd.
Yeah.
So our YouTube is down. So we're not on YouTube. We are on Periscope. So if you're joining us live on Periscope, be sure to leave us a comment or a question. And if it catches our eye, we will we'll read it live on the pod. So thanks so much for joining. Yonik22 from Israel. Wow. Thanks so much for listening. So the Thunder beat the Spurs on Saturday night. And they didn't have a handful of players like Al Horford or Darius Baisley or Lou Dort. And you just get to thinking, they're just going to get their butts kicked. Because the Spurs, they played guys like LaMarcus Aldridge and Rudy Gay and DeJounte Murray and DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl. And it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because the Thunder, I mean, even outside of the performances of guys like Teo and Poku and Shea, they just out-executed the Spurs. And it's the preseason, so you can't use it as like a platform to jump to conclusions with.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. But they played, and we'll get to like each individual player, but I just am still just astonished after the rewatch of it, at the style of play, mm-hmm. and the defensive effort that was there, they were an extremely fun basketball team to watch. I was shocked. It really out of the gate, they really kind of sputtered, and I was like, oh boy, this is going to be a long game. And then they got into their groove, and it's like, oh man, like this is an entertaining brand of basketball.
Yeah, yeah. I mean. When we played Houston, we as the Thunder, in the bubble, I was kind of amazed by the way in which Houston always found the corners.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, first game of the preseason, in OKC is finding the corners with basically every player that handled the ball. I mean, Shea had a few passes that were really good. Maledon hit a few, even George Hill. Poku hit someone in the corner, I don't remember who, but everyone was moving the ball. Almost everyone. But it was good to watch. Now, I'm terrified by the Spurs because I do think that they are very close to be a terrible team. Like and LaMarcus, even if he's kind of washed on the defensive end,
yeah,
I think. Like, you would rather have him than, like, a ton of other players. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how much they can extract in terms of value because there's not a huge value in LaMarcus Aldridge.
Right.
But I would be terrified by the Spurs trying to tank because they are good to tank. They don't have, like, DeMar doesn't really help you winning.
Yeah.
Maybe he will win you, like, a game here and there, but Shea will probably win you more than DeMar. And Horford surely wins you more than DeMar. And so I'm terrified, Andrew. Terrified by the Spurs. Are you a bit more terrified than what you was like what you were like last week or 2 weeks ago? I don't remember when we discussed that.
Not really. Not really. Mm. I think DeJounte Murray is a nice player. Derek White didn't play. Which
You know.
I think that he helps them.
Neither did Bazley and or Dort, but yeah, let's forget about that.
Yeah, yeah. No, don't acknowledge that. Yeah, their bench is bad. Like, straight up bad. It's like Thunder bench bad. Like, they've got... Like, Trey Lyles looked like he gained 76 pounds. He was huge. I mean, in a bad way. Luka Samanić did not look ready to be in the NBA.
No.
Katabates Diop is on his, like, fourth team in 4 months. I mean, it's a really bad bench. I mean, they really need... And Vassell was okay, actually. Vassell was all right. Lonnie Walker was not good. They need those guys to step up if they're going to be any good. So that's... I mean, and that's kind of the nature of this team. Derek White will also be coming off the bench, apparently. If their starting lineup... Mm-hmm. I mean, their starting lineup looks like it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're not going to be a great team. But I have faith that Pop will coach them to mediocrity.
Yeah, which probably will mean like 30 wins, but enough about this Spurs team that we don't want to discuss too much. Let's get into Pokuševski, because I was so pumped to see him like just jacking trees, ask for the ball, playing randomly. It seems me in the Wednesday evening basketball games that we play. It was just all over the place and like probably never in the right place, but it was great. Like, he can really shoot it. Like,
he can really shoot it. And he takes a little while to load up, but if he's just catch and shoot, it's pretty fast. Like, he had that three off the dribble and it was off the dribble. It just took him a while to load up once he got to his spot. But he was, if you're worried about his confidence, I mean, we've had other rookies come in. Even, Sabonis was like notoriously very afraid on the court. And some of that was Russell. Poku was not at all. There was nothing that scared him out there. He had some really great moments and some really bad moments. But he wasn't afraid to keep trying, which I think is important. And I think Theo really didn't have really any bad moments. And we'll talk about him in a minute. But the thing that really encouraged me with Poku is that he did. I mean, he missed his first few shots and he could have just been like, well, it's not my night, and just kind of sulked. But like, it got down to the closing minutes of the game. And not that this game didn't matter if they won or lost it, but he basically won them the game by hitting those three threes in a row. And then he won my heart with his heat check. So it was just a terrific, really fun, crazy performance from Poku. And he's a wing. I mean, like, he's just straight up an NBA wing. He is far too skinny to play the four.
Yeah.
In the NBA.
Right now, yes, 100%.
And he moves like he still moves like a guard. And can stay in front of wings well enough, much better than he could defend a four or a five.
We
saw him just get pushed around under the rim. But he's going for rebounds. The thing that I love about him, this is something we talked about pre-draft, was his grab-and-go ability. And he showed that. And he's going to have to become more in control and more... He's going to have to make the right decisions in transition. But once that, if he can get that unlocked where he can grab and go and then just drive and get to the rim and finish, or drive and find somebody on the perimeter, like, if you can unlock that, it unlocks a lot about the Thunder offense down the road. Now, I don't expect that to just come even this season, but with strength and experience, like, it's something that could be really, really fun for the Thunder at his size. And I don't know. I think he's a really, really interesting prospect.
Yeah, he is. And the dribble is too loose. It's too high. So yeah, it's not effective as of today. But like he's natural. And I hate to bring in the discussion KD again, because the talent is not there. Is clearly not there. Kevin Durant is probably the best scorer of, I would say, the last 20 years and probably more.
Yeah.
He was so gifted at the same age. But like he has a lot of skills that are similar to KD. Now, he's not at that level. He will not be that kind of scorer. But the type of player, he was a guard. KD was a guard in his first year in the league. Then he kind of moved to this small forward and came back in his amazing season with Russ out when OKC won 54, I think, and he won MVP. He was playing like even point guard.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he has that kind of abilities to a different level, of course, different scale. But those abilities are there. And you can... He can curl off screens. Now, he didn't do that because probably he didn't have anyone who could screen well for him. But when Horford will be there, I wonder how they can have a two-man game. Like 2 6-10 plus players that can handle, they both can handle, and one can curl off screens and just jack threes. I think that the one that you were, the three that he kind of took off the dribble, mm-hmm. I think he was completely surprised that no one was there to guard him. He said, well, I'm that open? Wow, I'm just going to jack it immediately. Yeah. Like, it was great. Again, I don't expect him to go 50% from three. But if you have a guy like that shoots like 34%.
Yep.
That seems real. Again, he will have to change his motion a bit because it's too low. He just should like forward and in front of his mouth, basically, which is not mm-hmm. what you want. You are mm-hmm. 7 feet tall, so you need to really have a higher release point. But again, also this is natural. Look KD in the first season and look KD at the end. I mean, the shot was much higher in older days. So
yeah, they just need to tweak it. They need to bring him along slowly.
Yeah.
And with this season, like they have the time to do that on the big squad. Like please don't be somebody that's saying he needs to spend some time in the G League.
No, not a minute.
No, because I mean, number one, we don't even know what the G League is going to look like or what's mm-hmm. going to happen with it. And just no. I can't shake this. And it's this NBA draft that's coming up in 21. I know everybody wants Cade. But can you imagine if they had Poku, Bazley, and Evan Mobley, and those were their like front court, like forwards and center? And you just have these three guys that can all grab and go, that can all pass it, that can all shoot it, that are just these, I mean, they're all basically 7 feet. And they're skinny and they're wiry and they're, if they all worked out, now that's it's a big if, it's a giant mm-hmm. if they all worked out. But if they all worked out and you're bad another year and then you go, you can find a wing in the draft after that and you have Shea as your primary, which we'll talk about Shea. Shea was like, he was very good.
Yeah.
He was very good. He looked ready to have the role that they're going to give him.
Yeah.
But if you had those three where everybody can grab and go, everybody can shoot it. I mean, that to me is like, that's very, very intriguing to me.
Yeah.
Because Mo is putting together like a really impressive season so far as a shot blocker, as a defender, and then as a guy that can really do almost everything on the offensive end.
Yeah, I watched just the game, so I don't want to jump to conclusions because, I want to see more. But he looks interesting.
Yeah.
But on the other end, if Cade is there and you get him, you have Shaded is 6'6", 6'6", 6'7", whatever. Cade is 6'8". Poku that is 7 feet tall. And you have Baisley that is 6'9", whatever. And then you can add Maledon. Like you have 6'5" or more in every position. And if you want to go defense, you have Dort. Oh boy, it will be...
Well, I'm just saying, if you like pick three.
Oh yeah. I mean, again, it's too early, but it's interesting. And the point that you can have these discussions is that your roster is so flexible.
Yeah.
Like, you have players, and I was discussing this yesterday on Thunder After Dark with John Hamm. I mean, I love the idea of having a team where everyone can do almost everything on the court.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You need specialists. You need a guy that shoots the ball particularly well. You need rebounders. Yes, you do. But if you have like four players out of the five that can do basically everything on the court, or that can have like a lot of, I would say, skills that are common. Like Shai can be a rebounder. He's not a great rebounder, but he can rebound the ball. He can move the ball. He can attack. He can cut. He can screen. Like the more you have, the better. You have really interchangeable players. And this is very, very important.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, I've held off long enough here. It's the Teo show. It's the Maledorian.
Man, the Maledorian.
Teo got out there on the court and just immediately made an impact. He was when he was out there, and he played some with Shai too. Like he was like the clear point guard on the team. I mean, that's what he was, and he's just such a smart player. And the speed of the game did not bother him. Not that this speed was like outrageous or anything, but
yeah, that's part of it.
The speed of the game didn't bother him at all. He was able to get to his spots on the offensive end. His vision was crazy, really, for a guy that's his age, that's had, you know, the level of experience that he's had. Not that it was bad, but I was very impressed. I mean, he is just a natural point guard. He's got really good size. He showed great touch. His floater and runner game was on point. I mean, he was very Tony Parker without really the foot speed, but with like better touch from distance, because that three ball looked really good.
Yeah.
And there was one pass, like he had lots of passes. He had a cross court pass for a three to Frank Jackson that I thought was really impressive. There was, but there was one, and I think he threw it to Kenrich Williams. It was in transition, and I don't even know how he saw it, but he threw the ball quarter way down the court or longer, and they ended up, he didn't get an assist off of it, but the pass itself was just like, I don't know how you saw that.
He's
ready to play now. I mean, I talked about George Hill possibly coming off the bench because they need a table setter coming off the bench. Well, that's Teo Maledon. Start George Hill. Let Teo be your backup point guard. Bring him in. I mean, he needs to play 20 to 25 minutes a game. I mean, right off the bat. And like he's to me, I would not be shocked. I don't think he's necessarily a rookie of the year candidate, but like he's going to make, if he plays like that, he makes the all rookie team. You know, I mean,
if he plays like that, for sure. Like he scored 20. That part, I'm not confident. it will stay there.
Sure.
Like
oh, yeah, I mean, he's not going to average 20 points a game, but if he averages like 11,
yeah, which I would be
cautious. the points are going to be there, Mikkelle. The shots are going to be there.
I know, but you can be like a 30% effect 30% field goal player. That can still be Maledon. I mean, I don't expect him to be that low, but I don't expect him to be above average in terms of efficiency.
30% from the field?
No, 30 was an exaggeration. Maybe 42, 41. With a 50, with a 49, maybe 50 effective field goal percentage, 52%, 51% through shooting, something like that, where you say, well, this is not crazy efficient. He's taking too many shots. He's turning them all over, which he will, and stuff like that. So I don't expect the scoring to be that good. Yeah. I do expect the passing to be at that level because the passing was very good. And it's not that the pass just happened to be there. Like either you have it or you don't. Mm-hmm. You can learn how to pass, but he looks like a natural. And so that part of his game will be there. And as we know, I mean, passing is something that gives you a floor in the league. Even if you are not good, not terribly good at tons of other stuff, and he will be not probably very impactful defensively because he's not strong enough, but he knows where to be, as we've seen in one of the DeMar DeRozan penetration. He was just where he was supposed to be. So if you are like a savvy defender and you know how to pass and you know which kind of shots you should take, which is something that, again, was in full display, I don't know how you fail. I mean, you can, because everyone can fail. You can, like, your lives can take turns and whatever. But he seems like a legitimate player or a guy that he, using something that you would say, he looks
he's
like
totally
a guy.
Yeah.
Like a guy.
Yeah. He went from dude to guy in a matter of minutes for me. It was very impressive. I don't know that he could have played better. I mean, he shot 50% from the field, 50% mm-hmm. from three, five boards. The two assists, I mean, I haven't looked up what his potential assists could be. I don't even know if NBA.com is tracking that right now, but
yeah, I don't trust that number.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. It would be much higher than that. He just had guys missing shots, but it was a very impressive outing from Théo. He looks ready, and that's the thing about this team compared to like those Sixers teams, like the 9-win Sixers team.
Mm-hmm.
There was just nobody on that team to watch that was interesting at all.
Yeah.
And that was the most difficult thing about getting through that season and why people were so averse to it, is that you watch that team, you're like, there's like no NBA players on that team at all.
Yeah.
And there's definitely not an NBA player that's setting the table for any of these guys. I mean, it was bad. Even looking at the Warriors from last year when you didn't have Steph or Draymond out there, I mean, you have to like really squint your eyes hard to see any guy that's going to stick in the NBA. Well, it's just not the case with this Thunder team.
This is why I'm scared. This is why I'm terribly scared. Because I was counting in my mind, like Horford is a starter, clear.
He started on every team.
28 to 2019. Like maybe he doesn't start in Philly because it's Philly. George Hill will start in 25 out of 30 teams. Most likely. Shea will start on 30 out of 30 teams.
Yeah.
Lu Dort will probably start on 10.
Half the teams, yeah.
Yeah. Let's stay low. 10. And then you have Bazley, who will probably not start, but be in the rotation of 30 teams. Muscala would be in the rotation of 30 teams. They are too good in rotation? Yeah. Like as a 10th player?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't really in the Thunder's rotation last year.
Yeah, but they had like two big men before him. But you're right. Let's say 50% of the teams.
We're trying to stay low.
20% of the teams. It's still NBA material. Like, if you put Muscala in Houston, he will play. I can tell you that. Or in Philly, he will probably find ways to be better than Mike Scott or stuff like that. I don't even know if Mike Scott is still there.
He is.
He probably is. Yes.
Yep.
So they are really too good, and I am scared. Trevor Ariza, thank God he's not here. He will be a starter in no team probably, but off the bench in many.
Yeah. I mean, you can offset it a little bit with a lot of Hamidou Diallo, lots of TJ Leaf.
Oh, Hami.
Frank Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to play Hami. This is your tanking card.
Yeah.
And I feel I'm too harsh on him. But
you are.
I just, he took 3 mid-range shots that were early in the clock with no real reason to take them. Why? Do you think you're good at that?
It's just feeling it, man. It's just feeling it.
Yeah, that's the problem, that you feel that your shot is like an 18-foot two-pointer off the dribble. This is an issue, like a big issue. Like, why are you taking that shot? I mean, I can get away with your like stubborn dribble drive against like 3 guys. Yes, you are athletic enough, and 50% of the time you can score, which is not great, but still not terrible. The mid-range shots, I just don't know. Like,
yeah,
why?
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top 3 things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
They need to trade George Hill sooner than later.
Yeah.
Because he just adds a level of competence that we really don't need, honestly.
Nor want. Especially want.
You can slide... I mean, I guess Lu Dort just takes his spot, and then you have a guy that doesn't shoot it and defends. You know, like that's...
Yeah. Why are you saying that?
Well, let's... Do we need to break it down for you? I know you're a guy that knows the numbers.
The non-shooting of Lu Dort. I'm really ashamed of you. Like, there is zero trust on Lu's development path.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very rare that a guy like that goes from year 1 to year 2 and just learns to shoot it, right?
Yeah, fair. shall we set the bar at 30.5?
Yeah.
Under
sure.
or over 30.5?
I mean, it's with... I would say under.
Oh! Really? under.
He shot 29% from three last year.
29.8.
Under.
Okay.
People know Lu Dort now. I mean, last year, Austin Rivers, even going into the playoffs, admitted that he didn't even know who this guy was. So people know Lu Dort now.
So you have more space, right?
I don't know. I mean, not necessarily. I mean, that could also... We also have to acknowledge that there's no scouting report on Théo Maledon out there.
Yeah.
And over the course of the next 3 weeks, there's going to be one. Mm-hmm. And then how does he adjust? And that happens with every rookie that comes in. There's no scouting report on Alexei Pokuševski. Now everybody's going to know, okay, this guy's going to shoot it no matter what. So you need to stay on him.
Which is great.
Things are going to change for these guys. This was game one. This was... Nobody knows what to expect from this Thunder team. Well, they're going to develop a game plan over the course of the next 3 weeks to beat this Thunder team. I think they surprised the Spurs with their effort and their ball movement and the way that... I mean, they didn't look like a Thunder team. You know, and some of that is that they don't have a superstar on the team, which this is year one without a superstar on the team for the Thunder ever. And it's going to look different. Huh?
Will it be, though, in May, the first year without a superstar?
Are you
confident? Okay.
Yeah, I'm confident.
Okay.
Superstar.
I'm optimistic. Today, I'm optimistic. Maybe because Christmas is almost here, but I feel... I don't know.
I'm talking about a guy that can make first team All NBA.
Oh no! Okay, no.
In their
career. No. Oh, maybe, maybe not.
I mean, maybe. I mean that, but that's. I mean, what's that?
First team is a tall task.
It's really hard to make the first team, and the Thunder have been overly blessed with guys that can make the first team.
No, first team is not insane to me today. I wouldn't bet on that. All NBA once? I lean more yes than no, but
it's still hard to do.
Yeah, still hard.
Still really hard to do. You have to be one of the best 15 players in any given season.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time since the Thunder haven't had a guy like that. And Shea can get there. He's got the ceiling to get there. Everything has to go right.
Yeah.
For it to happen. I mean, this is... He's got the talent, but it's still, you have to put it together. You have to win. You have to
do
a lot of things to get there. And he's got to be the best player on the team. And will he be the best player on the team in 3 years? The Thunder hope that he's not. You know?
Well, I don't know if they hope that.
I think they believe that the path to a NBA title is through somebody else.
That is a strong statement or a strong idea. I don't know. I mean, if you tell me...
Why is that a strong idea? Why?
No. I don't really see a Luka Doncic or a LeBron James or an Anthony Davis or a Kevin Durant in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. That is quite true.
Yeah.
And if you're saying, well, I want that guy, sure. He is no generational talent.
Yep.
Generational, it means to me, Harden is borderline not a generational talent. He's not like a top 10 NBA player all time. Whereas Luka, LeBron, maybe not even Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, these are like legendary players that can shape a league. And...
Once a decade, guys.
Yeah.
Like once a decade, you get a guy like that.
And the problem with Harden, Westbrook, and Curry is that we all had them in at the same time. But if you have to rank them, nobody will be close to LeBron or to KD in terms of talent. And probably nobody will be closer to Luka. I'm that high on Luka. I know it is not there yet, but he's a guy that is doing stuff at an early age that nobody did. Mm-hmm. But Shea is not... very far from the second year of Kawhi, PG, Anthony Davis, Harden, and Westbrook, and John Wall, and name every other All-Star, Chris Paul even. Like, we are talking about guys, like a guy that in a winning on a winning team, he averaged 20 a game. He completely changed his position to average 19 points a game. He was not great in the playoffs, but it was not bad. He still averaged 16 and a half, 17, whatever, on good numbers in terms of efficiency. He didn't make a leap, but as we discussed many times, it wasn't the series for him. There was no big man to attack. And,
yeah.
I mean, a great player probably adjusts, but not even James Harden had a great series against OKC. Like, it wasn't a great series for James Harden or Russell Westbrook. So, I really want to temper the Shea's not a number one guy on a team. I don't know that. He's probably not at that level, almost surely. But if you give him like another guy that is on the same level, maybe you have enough. Of course you want to draft a generational player. If that is the idea, sure, of course. And Kate can be that. Yeah, then I agree. I mean, you want a number like a once-in-a-lifetime talent. That, yes. But among like the second tier of guys, I don't know that Shea doesn't belong there. I don't know that Shea will never be an All-NBA guy. I think it will be. He can be. The guy averaged 20 in a good team. That is something that like very rarely happen for like normal players.
Yeah. I just have to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I just need to see it. That's all. He's got
there. You saw something.
Yeah, I think he's good. I don't want this to turn into like I think that Shea is not good. I think the vision for the Thunder, the vision that they have, and it's clear that this is the vision that they have, or else they wouldn't be doing everything they're doing, is that they want to acquire top-end talent, top 10, top 5 level players in the NBA. That's what they want to do. That is the goal. That's why all this is happening. That's why they traded everybody. That's why they will trade George Hill. It's why they will try to trade Al Horford. It's why all this is happening, is because they want top level talent, because they would like to win an NBA title. Now, could you develop the guys you have now and become Indiana Pacers good? Probably so. You probably could. In a few years, you could be good enough to be in the middle of the pack. If you continue to draft and continue to try to field a team, and you kept Horford and you kept George Hill and you tried to convince Trevor Ariza to come and play, yeah, you could get there. And then you sign a free agent or two, like overpay somebody to come play in OKC, yada, yada. Like, you could get there. But that the vision is, that's not the vision. The vision is we need to get top 5 picks in the draft.
Yeah.
And we want to... That's the best shot OKC has to bringing in a generational type of talent. And I'm not trying to slight Shea. All I'm saying is that if the Thunder get to where they want to go, Shea won't be the best player on the team. He'll be the second, third, or third best player on the team. And that means that this team is not Indiana Pacers good, but they're Lakers good. They're title favorite good. That's where they want to go.
On the flip side of your argument, you discussed Indiana Pacers, but the Indiana Pacers don't have a guy who could be in 5 years a top 15 players in the league.
You're such a I didn't take you for a Domas hater, but I guess that's what you are. I guess that's what you are.
No, I do think that Shea has another gear compared to the other guys. But I mean, we're not that far. I think I'm probably higher than most on Shea. And I'm not too worried about the bubble experience where he didn't shine like others, like Jamal Murray. But again, he is way ahead of the curve compared to other guys. And And yeah, and I think that he has like another gear defensively to get to, which sure. other guys
he's
don't
a lot
have.
Bigger. We haven't said that. He was a lot bigger.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. He was bulldozing guys.
Yeah.
getting at yeah. the rim. That is something that yeah. can change a lot for him. Like, if he can get to the rim whenever he wants, which seemed like the case. Mm-hmm. Which seemed like the case. Again, I understand what your point. Like, if Shea is too good this year, you will probably be in a worse spot than having a normal year and mm-hmm. getting a top 5 pick. Sure. But if Shea is that good, then you have to rethink a bit. Because if he's a guy even as good, like a tad better than Devin Booker or a guy like that, it's hard mm-hmm. to tank. You can get a lottery pick, because this is what happens in the West. He's not anywhere close to be a guy like Chris Paul who brings you to the playoffs, but he's also a guy that probably will win you 35 games, 32 games in a normal season, mm-hmm. which is not horrible. And I do think I lean that way. Like, I smell greatness there. Maybe not like all NBA first team greatness, but
yeah.
Again, if the 3-point shot is real off the dribble, which like the one mm-hmm. that he took was awesome, and he can generate like 6, 7, 8 free throw from the line, we're talking about like a 25-26% point score.
Yeah.
Which means very close to an all-star level.
Yeah.
We'll see. He's... I mean, maybe I expected Ferguson to be a guy that could take like 5 threes a game
yeah.
and hit them. And that was not the case. So everything can change. But if you ask me to bet today...
Don't you put that stench on, Shea. Don't you do that. Don't do that.
No, maybe it's me. Maybe it's me being wrong and being too optimistic. I've been wrong many, many times. I don't remember which was my worst draft crush ever. But there are some. Well, anyway, I'll think about
yeah.
it. But it seems yeah, real I think- to me.
Yeah, I think Shea will be a 25 points per game guy this year. I mean, I think that's there. I was closer. Hoopstock 69 says he thinks it'll be 28 points per game. I was closer to that before I saw them play. But when I saw like this ball movement heavy offense, where I just wonder if they're going to move the ball too much for him to even get that. But well, we'll see.
He got 13 in 19 minutes?
Yeah. How many minutes do you think he plays?
38.
Yeah.
35, 36.
Yeah, 35, like 34, 35. I mean, I don't think what I don't I mean, I wouldn't play him 38. I wouldn't play him.
I would unleash him. Just go.
Yeah, unleash
scorch.
Him in 35 minutes. Now you're talking. I mean, if he plays, I mean, you're worried about them winning too many games. If he's playing 38 to 40 minutes a game, you don't need that. We need more developmental minutes out there. We need more. Can Frank Jackson be a point guard? Let's figure that out in the month of February. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness. Like, we need to be able to explore the roster a little bit more.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
Oh man, the Thunder play again Wednesday night in OKC against the Chicago Bulls. Should be interesting. Billy comes home. We'll get to see this Bulls team that has looked rather atrocious.
Yeah.
That caused Billy Donovan to curse after the first game that they played. But yeah, it should be an interesting game. If the Thunder do what they did to the Spurs against the Bulls, it will be very, very weird. But it's very possible, because that team does not look good. So hope you guys have a great rest of your Monday. We'll talk to you guys again Wednesday morning with Alex Spears previewing that game. Also going over Western Conference over-unders. Follow McKelly on Twitter at Mikey Barrow. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew K. Schlecht. Have a great day. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday.